Hey, good evening to everybody. Everybody online, I hope you can hear me. How many we got online, Jacob? Do you know right there? Okay, good. We thank God for that. We thank God for everything he's doing toward us. I was telling the ministry Tuesday night, you know, sometimes we have people from Oklahoma City, some from Austin, some from San Antonio, some from San Diego that are listening in on our broadcast, and we may get more in the near future here. So there are some things that may bring it to pass, but we'll get some from other areas. But I think that's a blessing. I think it's a great blessing. Ernest was talking about something here just a second ago. Once again, he's provoking me into some of the thought that we wanted to talk about tonight. This forgiveness thing, do you think you could ever preach too much about forgiveness? Because what happens? Why do we need to continually preach about forgiveness? What would you think? Well, it's needed for sure. Could somebody have forgiven things and gone along good and then get back into a spirit of unforgiveness again because something else happened in their life or in their mind, and then they go back into it again? And it's according, you know, we talk about a term, we say hurt, don't we? Hurts in our life. Sometimes those hurts can cut very deep, and they can cause you to take longer to come to the understanding that that's too, no matter how deep it is, it still has to be forgiven. You understand what I'm saying? So are there some tribulations that are tougher than others? You know, are there some things that cut deeper than others? That's true. Sometimes it takes more time for certain things to overcome than maybe if it was something that was just what we considered minor and we can get right into it right then and quickly forgive. Now, here's the thing that's important. Ernest mentioned this. God had to forgive us. And you may not think that you did anything against God, but sin in the world opposes God. Sin in the world requires the debt to be paid for sin. And Jesus did all of that for us. He goes by several names. Is he a redeemer? He redeems us. Is he a reconciler? Oh man. Is he an intercessor? Is he an advocate? You see all these things? Why does he have to do all those things for us? It comes to a point where how we think and our thought and so forth can be so scattered and so bad or so misunderstood or so you don't have any understanding of something that you think you have understanding of. I know there were some things about forgiveness I thought I understood until God started showing me that it goes deeper than that. This is a spiritual thing. This is a tool that the adversary uses a lot. If he can get you not to forgive somebody, then what does the Father say about that? He won't forgive you. If he can convince you to join him in unforgiveness towards something, if he can convince you to do that, I'm going to start backwards kind of on this thing here. See this one that said there's two Greek words for forgiveness. And you say, well, why would he need two? Why do we need two? Well, you look at the things that are underlying, they're slightly different. It's important for us to understand that there are things that are going to happen to us, period. They're just going to happen. And some of them are going to be hurts. Some of them are going to be awful things. The list that we see on the deals of the flesh and the things that we see in Matthew 15, 19, what comes out of the heart, all those things are directed at us. It's not directed so much at God as it is directed at us and the God in us. But the reason it's directed at us, it's trying to sway you to follow it. Can't sway God. You get where I'm going in this? So that's why it's directed at us. You're not going to sway God with adultery or fornication or lust. You're not going to sway him with that. But what will happen is the God that's inside of us, what does he do? Is he constantly trying to teach us and give us the understanding of those things? But what about when we don't understand? When the depth of our understanding doesn't go deep enough? You see where I'm going with this? We haven't matured in it. We haven't walked. We haven't had the experience. So what does God do? He stays by us so that when those things come, he's going to be the intercessor to help us during that time. It's very important to understand that. So we grow in these things. We grow in an understanding of giving forgiveness and why it's so important. If you don't forgive, God doesn't forgive you. It's very important for you to understand that because your salvation's involved. This is God saying something he will not do, and it involves you. Now, think about that. This is God saying, I won't do it. I am not going to forgive you until you forgive. Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? There's very few things God said, I am not going to do. That's one of them. The other one is those two immutable things. He said, I'm not going to lie. Remember when he said two immutable things? I'm not going to lie, and I'm not going to transgress my own oath. When I make an oath, I'm going to carry it out. That's what that scripture means. We said by two immutable things that God cannot lie, and he's going to keep his oath. If he makes a vow, he's going to do it. God is that faithful. He's that succinct in his word where he says, these are things I am not going to do. You can count on it. I'm not going to do it. Well, you want to be on the right side of that. You want to be on the right because now we're talking about the creator of the ends of the earth, the creator of the universe, the one that made you, the one that sees all things in you, everything, the one that created you from the beginning, spoke a word and you came into existence. The one that crucified a Christ before the foundation of the world for your sake. He didn't do it for his own sake. He did it for you. He did it for you in the plan of God. He thought about you. And I often say this when I sit and think about it. I said, you mean the God that I read about in Genesis, the God I read about in the New Testament, the God that does these huge, magnificent things. He thinks about me. He does. He says he does. He thinks about you. So we must be awful important to God. I think we're very important to him. It's his word that went out and then it fell. And so he wants to bring it back into a reconciliation to him. He wants to redeem it so that there's nothing that's left in the way between us and him, right? He wants to take the sin out of the way and bring us back into a right relationship with him. Guess what the anchor of all that is? Forgiveness. Can anybody remember the statement I made Sunday? I made it several times. Let's see if you can make it. Can you remember what I said? Because it's very important. Go ahead, Terry. You do it first. Yes. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Go ahead, Seth. How are you going to put it? That's true. What did Jesus say about peace? He said, I'm going to give that to you and I'm going to leave it with you, right? So what could disturb that peace? What you allow in that? Unforgiveness is a big one. You catch it? What could disturb what Jesus left to us? Peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you. He said, that's ours, right? To have peace. Now, here's the question I need to ask you. Do you always have peace? Be honest, do you always have peace? So something's missing when you don't have peace. I'm telling you, one of the factors, there's others, but one of the factors is what? Unforgiveness. That's a big one. In fact, I'd say that's the largest one out of some of those others that are there too. And one day we'll get into what some of the others are, but this is what God wants us to concentrate on right now is forgiveness. So it's a very important thing. So let me start from the bottom here. This aphemi, that's one of the Greek words. And God knew exactly what he had to do. Why is the New Testament, you think, written in Greek? Because some of the Hebrew terms, you can't break them apart like you can here in Greek. That Hebrew only has one way of saying it, and that's it. I love it because there's four types of love, right? I don't know all. I can't remember all right now. One is phileo, eros, agape, and there's one more, phileo, That's where Philadelphia gets its name. City of brotherly love, phileo, brotherly love. So there's four types of love. I like that it brings it down that tight to everything and not just saying, oh, love. No, you have to know how this love works in all of those aspects. Every aspect of it, you have to know how it works. Well, this is what he does with forgiveness too. He has a couple of ways of saying it because they're slightly different. So let me start with this bottom one down here. F-E-M-E, to let something go. I'm going to say something here. There's a lot of us that have, for a long time, have not been able to let things go. Now, how do I know that? I know it in my own personal life. Sometimes I hear things and the person is saying to me, well, you did this way. That's why I don't trust that you've changed or anything. That you're going to do the same thing again. Isn't that what they made up their mind? That's the way it's going to be. So they can't let it go. They'll always throw it up and say, yeah, but you did this way. And I'm afraid you're going to do the same thing again. That's you being afraid. You know, that's not God, but you're going to continue to do that. Even though the pattern may not even be that, it may be from something 20 years ago. Or this is where God says, you think you've forgiven everything, but God is showing you, he's saying, there's some, if you have to keep bringing it up, don't let it take over your heart and don't bring it up again. Don't. Because if you do, then you haven't done it. See how that works? Very simple. Don't bring it up again. So this is the one that says to let something go. Let it go. You've heard people say that too. People, even in this natural world, huh? Hey, bro, let it go. You've heard that, right? And they're talking in a physical sense. What about God saying you have to let it go because it's forgiveness? And I told you what I feel about forgiveness. Now, this is God making it a little bit stronger than a man does. You have to let it go, or else if it remains, then we have something between you and me. There's something between you and me. You don't want to have things between you and God. Here's the thing. Remember we read that thing in Timothy? The thing says we want all of our sins and things that we have going where? Before us. We don't want them trailing behind us like a kite tail, right? Well, do you think forgiveness is right in the middle of all that? What if you have unforgiveness trailing behind you and you've done everything else? You just negated everything else you did. Think about what I'm saying. Because he said, I can't forgive you until you get this straight. Catch what I'm saying. I'm trying to get across to you how God looks at this and not how we look at it as human beings. Human beings, we can say, that's not such a big deal. I can go on and live that way. And I don't have to let it go. Every time I think about it, it gives me pleasure. Think about what I just said. Every time I think about it, it gives me pleasure because I can imagine in my mind, I'm holding this unforgiveness over this person, and I feel good when I do that because I don't like what they did to me. And so you actually like, what did Gary say? You like it, you love it, you want more of it. You feel satisfied in that. You feel, here's the word I'm going to use, justified in it. They did this to me, so I'm justified. I can hold on to this. Can you? God says you can't. Now, who are we going to believe? Ceci, who am I going to believe? I'm going to believe God. God said, no, you can't hold on to it. And you say, no, I can hold it. They did me wrong. Yeah, but who's the righteous judge? God is. So does God hold it against him, or is that you holding it against him? That's the difference. That's the difference. Let it go. You don't have to bring it up again. It's done. Let it go. That's if it's sincere forgiveness now. But what if you're doing the phony? It'll come up again, won't it? And you'll say, wait. I said, yeah, you said it from here, but it wasn't cleansed out of here. Do you need help to do this? A lot. Doesn't God say, I'm the reconciler, I'm the redeemer, I'm the one that brought all of this forth? I brought the love forth. I brought the grace forth so that the grace can cause the work to happen because I'm God, right? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So I brought all these forth to do what? To help you with this. every part of that. In fact, that first word up there, charizomai, it's a canceling of debt, but you know how we use the term charismatic? You know, we say that term. Well, look at what charis means. It means grace. It means the grace of God going forth. That's why it's part of the word. It's saying that by my grace, you can cancel that debt. The debt can be canceled. And I think that's kind of cool. Let me read this one up here. It says Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let me show you. Then we're going to go to an example of something. People say, wow, you've been on this forgiveness for a while. I preached it first in March, guys. And then we took a break. We did a couple of times there, a couple of lessons. Then we came all the way up. And now this is, we're doing it again. And this is the second lesson on this one. So this is number four, really, what we're starting on here. But listen to what this says here. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Now, this is Paul speaking to the Ephesian church, okay? Listen to what he says. Let all bitterness, wow. I think a lot of unforgiveness comes from bitterness. People get bitter because they, Ernest, you talked about a little bit and I talked about a little bit. What about how you were raised sometimes? Could there have been some bitterness about certain things that happened to you in your raising? And then it talks about a root of bitterness. If you don't cut that root up, if you don't pull it up, will it be there 50 years later, 60 years later, 70 years later? It'll still be there because the bitterness is what keeps it going. Now, what else does bitterness do? Somebody get for an extra point, 10 credits. What else does it do? What does bitterness do? Is something specific the word said it does? Well, yeah, that's good what you're saying, but that's not what it says. What does bitterness do? When I say it, you're going to know it. It causes you to step back into perdition. Remember it says that? The root of bitterness. It causes you. Now, what is perdition? Yeah, I'm going to tell you what it is. Allowing Satan to take leadership. You know why? Because what is Judas called? The son of? And did Satan take leadership there? Almost to the point of, or not almost, he did, betraying the Lord. Bitterness will lead you to that. Okay, what about anger and wrath? You get so angry that it turns from anger and wrath into what toward a person? Right, hatred, doesn't it? Now, what does God say about one that hates somebody? You're a murderer. First John, he said, you're a murderer now. Wait, I didn't go and stab him or shoot him. No, you just hated him. You hated him so much that you don't want to keep him in the body of Christ. You hate him so much, you don't care whether he's a brother or sister or a mother or father, whatever. You don't care anymore. You hate. Hate causes you to do that. Hate could cause you to kill a person. Happens all the time, doesn't it? So they can't, in this natural world, they can kill somebody. But the, you know, people will say, oh my God, I'm not killing anybody. Do you hate them? Yeah, of course, spiritually, God said you're doing it. You have a question? But no, that's what God says in 1 John. He says, that's what you're doing. Oh, okay. He says, that's what you're doing. He says, if you hate them, you're murdering them. Who was a murderer from the beginning? Doesn't it say, where's it at? Extra credit. Where's it at? Where's it at? No. Where's it at? John? No. You're close, though. No. Different chapter. What does it say about that? He was a murderer from the beginning. Bode not in the truth. He's a liar. 844. Go back to it. That's what it says. So in other words, if you become that, what have you become? You've become an emissary of the one that was a murderer from the beginning. You're an ambassador for him, for murder. Wow. You represent him. When you kill somebody, you just represent it as a murder. Didn't you do that? Go ahead, Jacob. You're going with him. You're following him. Who are we supposed to follow? You see why I wanted to teach this lesson tonight? This leads from one thing to another thing to another thing. They're all related. Let me tell you what it is. It's a tree. Different roots, all the same tree. Comes from that same evil source, doesn't it? It can bear fruit up above, bad fruit, foul fruit, rotten fruit, and it can go down deep by roots into your earth. Can it do that? Yes, it can. So there's things that are deep you don't even see. They're below ground. And then things that you can see, because a tree is a man. And then you see the fruit it bears above ground. Wow. This is what Satan is doing. Branches. So he starts off with this. Oh, yeah, da-da-da-da-da. Now you take the branch of pride. Oh, no, now you take the branch of hatred. Oh, now you take the branch of wrath. Oh, now you take the branch of foolishness. You see how that works? You're taking different branches because it's all a tree. And what we're trying to do is change that tree. We want to be the one that Jesus became. The tree that he became, the man he became. See, that's the key. So that's why I started at this bottom one here. Don't bring it up again. Don't do that. And then the one we were talking about, charisma. So let me go back to this 4:31 and 32 again here. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Do you realize that when you speak evil of somebody, you're already partaking of that? You've already started down the path. Oh, Seth? No, man, don't trust anything. Don't do anything. No. Man, he's a mess. You know, da-da-da-da-da-da. Wait a minute, don't you two go to church together? Well, yeah, but I... No. You see how this works? Evil speaking. Where do you think backbiting comes from? Where do you think gossip comes from? See the tree and the branches? So, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you. So he's telling you, put it away from you. Well, Paul, how do I do that? You're going to have to yield to the grace of God. Let the intercession be in there. You have to be obedient to the words I'm preaching to you right now. When you see these things start popping up and manifesting, realize that by understanding that these things are working in you. This is where understanding comes in. See? So, oh, wait a minute. If I did that, oh, I don't understand. There's a good one in the Bible. It says, a man that committeth adultery lacketh what? Lacketh understanding. We say, oh, no, he just has a lust. Or he just did this, or he doesn't, you know. No, it says you lack understanding if you do that. And people say, well, I've never done that. Have you done it here? Have you done it a lot here? Ooh. See where I'm going with this? So he said, if you do that, you lack understanding. If that's your constant thought, or if it comes in many times during a week, a month, a day, then you know you don't understand. People say, wait a minute, I understand a lot of things. You don't understand that. That's very simple to come forth. You don't understand that. And that can take you, see? Very important. Okay, so here we go again. Clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Malice is just a deep hatred, evilness that goes across. And be ye kind one to another. Now he's giving you the other side. Be ye kind one another. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Don't be so hard on people all the time. Have some mercy, man. The instant they say something or do something that goes against your thing, you're ready to snap and take them out. Hey, let's have a little tenderheartedness, man. A little tenderheartedness. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So he did it because of the sacrifice Christ made, right? For Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Okay? That's very powerful. That's what that thing is there where it says the canceling of the debt. There was a debt between us and God because of sin. Christ said, I'm going to come and cancel it out. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. Father, thou preparest me a body. Why did he prepare that body? To die. To die for who? You. He went through a big thing to do that. Big thing. Thou preparest me that body. Father, I'll go. I'll do it. I'll be the one that'll do it. And die. But the Father gave him a commandment. He said, yeah, go ahead and die for this whole thing. That'll satisfy the debt between me and sin, the sin that's in them. But I want you to what? I'm going to give you a commandment to do what, John? Raise up again, resurrect. Don't just die and stay there. I want you to conquer this thing. So did he conquer sin and death? Yes. He said, and rise again. That's the thing that we want. Do we want to be resurrected? Yes. We want to conquer sin and death? Yes. Forgive, and you'll conquer it. A lot of what's keeping us in the places that we're in, we haven't forgiven. I'm going to say something here, because I know it's true. I've had people kind of confess it to me. You need to forgive God. Now, get what I'm saying here. In your misperception and lack of understanding, you thought God was doing things to you, so you were shaking your fist at God. Why did you do this? Why did you allow this? Why did you got to get to the point where you understand, man, I didn't have no understanding when I did that. I need to forgive what I said toward God. Isn't that true? Why did you do that, Lord? Get blamed. Why'd you take my father? Have we heard things like that, Ma? Yeah. Yeah. So what is the scoop about that? Why do you blame God for things that were spirits that oppose God brought forth in you? He's very wise about how he gets you to turn and oppose God. Is that Antichrist? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You're getting more and more, huh? So that's that verse I read. That's the canceling of that debt. It happens through his grace. That's why the word for grace is part of the word. The grace of God is God performing the work. So he's allowing through that intercession, John, through the intercessor, through the advocate between us and the Father, he's allowing grace to work to pull that out of you so the debt can be canceled totally. Oh, Jesus already did it on the cross, but what did we do? Did we pick it up again? We picked it up again, and we tell them, oh, they still owe me, man. I want this to happen to them and that happened to them. What did we do? We just brought right back on us again. Christ died for all of that already. You see how that worked? But what do? We pick it up again. That's not good. Canceling the debt. Let me read you a thing here. You know it already. Luke 7. I'm going to tell you some of the story right off the bat here. Where are we at? Luke 7. And we're going to start at 40, but I'm going to tell you some of the story beforehand. There was a Pharisee that invited Jesus to his house. Simeon, something like that, invited him to his house. And he wanted to talk with him. Well, Jesus never did turn the... You would think the Pharisees being enemies of him the way they were, that he was saying, no, I'm not going to that house. No, that's not Jesus. Jesus went every, if they invited him somewhere or wanted to talk, he was always made himself available to do that. Even in the marketplaces, when they said, Master, we have a question of thee, or this, or that, or whatever, he would stand there and talk to him. He didn't try to push him away or anything. He would talk with them. This guy invited him to his house. He said, come in my house and talk with me. Jesus said, okay, I'll come. And then a woman came in. And crying and weeping. And there's a funny little scripture there. Some people don't understand it. It says she stood behind him at his feet. You ever wonder about that? Go back and read and see it says that. She stood behind him at his feet. Wait a minute, how could that be? Back in those days, like the Pharisees, they had those little couches that you would lie on when you came to the house. It was to cause people that had been travelers to rest. And so his feet were out on that little divan, and she could stand behind him and see his feet right there. And so she was behind him at his feet. Okay, don't let that confuse you when you read it. Okay, and so she was there, and what did she start doing? You tell me. Washing his feet with what? And how did she get the liquid? What was the liquid? Her tears, right? And used her hair to wash his feet. You even read a little bit there because they get these two mixed up, but she had some ointment with her too. And she anointed him and all this stuff, but she didn't cease, and she did something else to his feet that we might think we may not want to do. What did she do to his feet? Kissed him constantly. Constantly kissed his feet, cried the tears on it, put the ointment on it, cleaned it with her hair. If somebody did that to me, I would know that something has changed in their life. You know, Simeon was sitting there saying, if he knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't let her touch him. That's what his thought was. None. But this woman came weeping, get down to, you know, to his feet, kissing his feet, wiping it with tears. And Jesus points this out. Now let's read this. Now you know the setup for the story. Now let's read it. Let's start at verse 40. And Jesus answered, because remember he said he doesn't know she's a sinner. Okay? Now listen what Jesus says after that. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And Simon said, he saith, Master, say on. You know, he's wondering, what you going to say? Okay, this is what Jesus says. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, nothing they could give, nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Remember, one's 500, one's 50. Yeah, rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? Now, he knows Simon sees him, but he's bringing his attention to something. Simon, seest thou this woman? Because he knows his thoughts, what he's thinking already. See this woman? Look at her now. Not with the eyes of judgment. Now look at her. See her? See this woman right here? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. This tells you she had ointment too, right? With ointment. Wow. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many. He's not denying she doesn't have sin. He says it's many she has. Are many. Wow. Are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now you understand what he's saying there? Sometimes when it's a little thing, in other words, this woman was, you know how we used to say a gross sinner. She did huge things, whatever. But what about a little teeny sin or something like that? And they don't appreciate when they're forgiven as much as somebody that has a whole load that they're bearing. That's the point he's trying to make. This woman had a load. She had something she was bearing. Many sins she was bearing. See? Think about that. Some of you have been in that spot. Some may still be in that spot. Think about what I'm saying here now. What does that take? Examine yourself and see if you even be in the faith. Isn't that true? Doesn't he say to do that? Well, what is that? Allow the Spirit, the candle of the Lord, to search you inside, all every place, and allow him to tell you what he finds. Isn't that true? Very cool. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him, because it wasn't just Simon there. You think other Pharisees were there? You think other scribes were there? Whatever. It's telling you it was more than him. sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, again now, he's making this emphatic, "Thy faith has saved thee, go in peace." Remember what we said? That forgiveness is the way to peace. That's what we preached Sunday, wasn't it? Forgiveness is the way to peace. Now, he used both of those terms in that set of scriptures I read. He used both of them. I think 43. My thing changed completely just here. Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." Okay? So that's that charizomai, the canceling of the debt. All those sins she had stacked up there, what did he do? Canceled them out. Isn't that cool? Canceled them out. And then he gets toward the end where they use the other ones for forgiving, which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Thy sins are forgiven thee. That's the other one where it says to let it go. God let all of it go. And guess what? What Jesus is telling Simon, don't bring that up again. She's been forgiven. You get it? He knew she was a sinner in the city, right? He said, now I said she's forgiven, so don't bring it up no more. She's been forgiven for all of that. And we have people that do, they did this to me. How long ago was that? That was 20 years ago. That was 10 years ago. Five. And what are you still doing? Ugh. See? You haven't let it go yet. You haven't let it go. If you don't let it go, do you think God doesn't know that you haven't let it go? You think he knows you haven't let it go? And I tell you, we're going to know too, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're going to bring it up again. I remember when you did this. I remember when you did that. So what? I've been forgiven by God. Oh, no, you're still the same person. Okay, well, then you deny the change in the life. And you be the judge. And you judge me the way you want to judge me. But when you do that, judge not lest ye be. God's going to judge you. God says all these things like that. See, we got to be very careful. So keep on judging me. Keep on saying that. I remember when you did this. And I know if I was to do this, it's the same thing is going to happen again. Whatever, and doesn't count anything that you've done. Anything. Well, God knows that. God knows that. That's why that statement I made is so important. Forgive others. It doesn't mean what? That they deserve it, because some of them are still hanging on to crap. Isn't that true? It doesn't mean they deserve it, but what God requires of you is to do it. Ah. Doesn't mean they deserve it, but you deserve to have peace. We talked about being locked up in that cage. You keep unforgiveness going in your life, you are locked up. No matter how free you think you are, you're locked up. Because it's still that one little thing. What do you say in 1 Corinthians 4:5? He's going to shine a light on that darkness, right? Oh, you may have gotten rid of a lot of things, but that little spot that's in that corner there, you think he's going to shine a light on it? He has to. He's trying to reveal every hidden thing of darkness. Doesn't it say that? So if you got the little bit in the corner, does he have to reveal that too? What if it's unforgiveness? What if it's justifying yourself? Because they did this. Okay. Let it go. That's the only way the light is going to shine on it. Let it go through the grace of God that's working in you, through that light that comes. Let the grace of God work. Let the intercessor work. Does that make sense? So are you getting the two things here? I'm going to read another one to you here. I think it's kind of cool. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. I like this one. Then we're done. Well, not really done. we're just going to end. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He couldn't quicken you and give you life if you hadn't been forgiven all your trespasses. He couldn't have done it. But he points out what you were. And you being dead in your sins, you were dead in your sins. And in the uncircumcision of your flesh, your heart hadn't been circumcised. You were dead in that. You were in death. You were in sin. But he came and performed an operation. And through the operation of God hath raised you from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Isn't that cool, Jacob? No matter what it is. That's a powerful thing. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Remember the woman pulled into the square because she committed adultery? And they said, Moses said you're supposed to stone her. By the way, where was the guy? And how did they catch her in the very act? Boy, they had to be, yeah, okay, let's wait. Yeah, they had to be right there waiting on this lady to, which shows me there's more stuff to this story than what you read there. And they pulled her out to stone her. And Jesus had to tell him. He said, okay, from the eldest to the youngest, you that don't have any sin, cast the first stone. If you don't have sin, go on and cast it. All of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. I can imagine it, Ernest. It's a crowd. Boom, 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 boom. Stones falling all over the place. And Jesus just waited, just kept writing in the dust. Just waited very calmly and patiently. And then he looked up. He didn't see anybody there. And he asked the woman. He said, woman, where are thine accusers? There aren't none, Lord. They're not here. Wow. Where are those that were condemning you? I don't see them. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He didn't say she didn't have sin. She had sin. He told her, don't do it no more. Let it go. Let it go. Very powerful, huh? Because she has to live in that town. So what stopped those men from gathering up again and trying to do the same thing again? No. What Jesus is trying to get them to see, take an inward look and see you have sin too. You're also worthy of being stoned and of death. You are. So he's trying to make the point. Oh, had to. Had to be. Yeah. Because that might help somebody.
Because they were guilty too.
You know, it's something when you feel guilty about something. And it's pointed out to you. Isn't that something? It's pointed out to you, and you say to yourself, that is me. You know, because sometimes we say, oh, that's not me. I don't. And then we have to stop and think, oh, yeah, that is me. You have to do that. And then you realize, oh, I got to be honest about this. You know what I mean? That's us. Sometimes we got to look in the mirror and say, that's the one that's my problem right there. You know, I'm going to read the last part of this thing, and we're done. So he says, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He gave us his spirit to be quickened, even though we did all those things he mentioned before. You were dead. Trespasses, everything. Wow. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. I love that. Jesus nailed that old man, didn't he? Didn't he say the old man is crucified with him, the sixth chapter of Romans? That's what he nailed. He nailed that old man to the cross. He crucified him. Wow. Isn't that cool? That's all I had, guys. I hope maybe you got something out of this. There's still more. I don't know if God's going to keep dealing with me about it up until this Sunday or not. But that's what I wanted to talk about today. Two different words for two different reasons. Okay? And he's explaining something different each time. But yet, it's all forgiveness. Two aspects of forgiveness. Okay? So, canceling the debt. Cancel the debt for other people that you're holding them in debt to you. Cancel it. Let it go. That's what the second one says. Let it go. Cancel the debt. Let it go. Does that make sense?